I'm going in as an Eagle. I'm going in. You select which team you go in representing number one. Yes, I coach the Chiefs. Yes, I coach the Rams, and I love those experiences. But Philadelphia is my home team. It's where I live, and that's where I deeply identify with the community.
That's Dick Vermeil earlier this week on a podcast with John Clark. Very good stuff. John's podcasts are always great, and this one was as always, really good. And it's starting very soon. They're doing it earlier today than they've done it in the past. This is going to be Dick Vermeil's 12th trip to the Hall of Fame. The first one where he's the guy gets applauded as opposed to playing his peers. A lot of his players, a lot of his cohorts, a lot of people have gotten in. And he gets in now. And you wrote a profile of Vermeil earlier this week that was on the front page of the Inquirer that was absolutely terrific. Jody and I were fortunate to have him on the show last weekend. And one of the things you said that I think is kind of the foundation of a lot of this is that the Dick Vermeil who coached in Philadelphia back when he came here from UCLA in 1976 was his first year, right?
Yes.
Through 82, that guy's really different now. And that guy would not have been able to, I don't know if you said survive, but kind of keep going in the league.
Right. I think one of the kind of assumptions I went into with in writing the profile about Dick was people nowadays think of him as, you know, the guy who gets emotional over the commitment and excellence of the barista who serves him his morning coffee, and the guy who was on the billboards and on TV commercials throughout the Delaware Valley as a spokesman for Independence Blue Cross and Cadillac. And you had to, in a way, kind of be there when he got here in 1976 and really dig through to remember what kind of coach he was at that time. And he had a lot of hard edges to him. And in the process of shaving some of those edges away, he took himself to the brink of a breakdown in 1982. You know, the phrase burnout got coined because of Dick Vermeil.
It's right. That's the first time anybody used it. He said coaches burnout. And before, I don't think before that burnout was part of the vocabulary.
No. And if you think about it, he's kind of the canary in the coal mine for all the discussion that takes place now about mental health and sports and some of the stories that have come up here, you know. Athletes like Lane Johnson and Brandon Brooks have talked about their struggles with anxiety and Simone Biles at the most recent Summer Olympics. And Vermeil was going through that before anybody else was talking about how they were going through that. And the fact that he went through it and became a Super Bowl winning coach in St. Louis and continued to be a terrific Hall of Fame caliber coach with the Rams and with the Chiefs is really a testament to who he is as a person.
Yeah, and he was back in the day, like more than anybody, the coach who lived in his office.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Drove in on whatever. I guess went home Sunday night and showered. I don't know exactly, but basically had a cot in the office. Mm-hmm. Was the first guy in, the last guy to leave, looking at tape, drawing up plays, driving himself crazy.
The one anecdote I dug up that just floored me was that he would sleep at Veterans Stadium or in his office roughly 5 to 6 nights a week, and at times he would serve himself dinner, and dinner would be eating a hoagie while he was sitting on the toilet.
Oh, geez.
Because he was working all the time.
Oh God. Okay. All right. That's
sorry, but it's
no,
you know,
it's
unpleasant, but it's
no,
accurate.
No, that's horrible. You also, I didn't know this, and this was, I'm delighted that this came up in your interview with him. We all loved the show Ted Lasso.
Mm-hmm.
Loved it. And it's about a American college football coach, wins national championship over here, somehow ends up over in England in the Premier League coaching a team over there. And it's, you know, the fish out of water story. And he started to watch it and couldn't watch it?
He's only watched 6 episodes of it.
How come?
I think it cut a little close to the bone because the Ted Lasso character, you know, suffers a panic attack. And
oh, okay.
And,
yes, he does.
And the character, what characterizes Ted Lasso is the degree to which he cares for the people around him. He loves his son and he loves his players on this soccer club, and he wants to perform well, and he's almost so caring that he pushes himself to the edge and suffers a panic attack in the show. And I think that's very, very similar. When I was watching Ted Lasso, I was thinking about Dick Vermeil. And so when I sat down with Dick in his home in Chester County, I made a point of bringing that up. Have you seen this show? Did you identify with the character? And he said, yes, he did.
That's very interesting. Your piece, and people should read it, you basically chronicle his career from high school coach on up. You found one of his former high school players. You talked about him.
Yeah.
And his players just loved him. At every level, his players loved him and stayed in touch with him.
It's remarkable. He was a 23-year-old kid when he became a high school football head high school football coach at Hillsdale High School in California. And there are six or seven former players from that team who have flown out to Canton for the ceremony.
Wow.
Today. And again, that speaks to who Dick is as a person. It speaks to the way he could connect with his players on levels that go obviously just beyond football. And you hear that all the time when you talk to guys who were on those teams with the Eagles in the 70s and early 80s, guys like Ron Jaworski and Harold Carmichael and Wilbert Montgomery, who Dick made an NFL coach, hired him in St. Louis because he saw something in him, an untapped ability to reach players.
Why do you think he resonated so well here in the fact that he has not coached here in 40 years, but is still an endearing figure in this town? You never saw him coach.
No.
Right? You never saw his coaching career. I know he stayed here. He made his home in Chester County. The cut we played coming into the segment talked about, you know, he won a Super Bowl with St. Louis. He had very successful years in Kansas City, but Philadelphia is his place, and he's part of the fabric here. How did that work?
Well, he took the Eagles to the Super Bowl and was the first coach to do that. He did it in a way that was kind of fit for this city, right? Like the whole Vince Papale situation, for instance, he holds an open tryout so that somebody from the Philadelphia area might make the team, and somebody does.
Yeah. And the perfect regular guy.
Exactly.
Blue collar guy.
You know, when he was hired as their head coach, they did not have a first, second, or third round draft pick for the first 3 years he was here. So the fact that he was able to build a championship level team that way is remarkable. I think that endeared him. And I think more than anything else, Philadelphians love a real, honest, heart-on-your-sleeve kind of coach or athlete. And Dick Vermeil is nothing if he is not that.
By the way, still doing those Blue Cross commercials.
Yeah. Yeah. He's 85, and Glenn,
oh, he's
you
youngest,
know
85. Oh, yeah.
You would never know it.
I was with him, and he's not 80. You know, God bless. I want to have half that energy at 85.
When I went to interview him and pulled up into his driveway, he greeted me, and his jeans were already dirty because he had been out splitting logs that morning. And I got there at 10 o'clock in the morning. So think about how long he had been out there.
Oh, that's great. By the way, the other thing I'll just say about your profile, which really nice to see as a former newspaper guy, and I don't know how many people care about this, but I liked that at the end of your story, it gave credit to other people, including the photographer, the great Jose Moreno.
It was terrific.
Great photographs
yep.
with that story that really captured what you're talking about with those dirty jeans and his house out in Chester and all that. It was really nicely, the way they laid that out, the way they, you know, gave credit to it. It was a good total package.
It's never just one person.